Okay, so hello, Vemenager. If you borrow from a convert and you don't have to repay, right, when the son's converting with him, right? So therefore, they're not halakhic related because ger shouldn't gair ketzkan shenolo dami. You don't have to repay the sons, but if you do, the chamim are happy with you. So laz omer bilvad levanav. That's the children. Riosi bayu ma bilvad levanav. What is the meaning of as long as you give it to the children? So im yesh lo banim mas lo banim. If there are sons, you give it to the sons. And if there aren't sons, then you give it to the daughter. Because you might have thought that since the inheritance of the right of the children of the convert from before his conversion isn't biblical, right? You might have thought that if you don't give it to the sons, right? So the way Marafold understands it is, you might have said that it's only to the sons and not the daughters. Kamash Balan, that you do, right? Now, this is interesting because, right, as we've seen, what would the, right, lundishly, it could be, as we saw, sons are different, right? We saw some evidence, right, that by Yerusha in general, there's Yerusha as like transference of property, and then there's Yerusha as Mamali Makom, and that applies by the Yerusha of what's it called? Right, of sons, they might be Mamali Makom. So you might have said, listen, maybe even at the level of this value, you only give it to the sons because they're unique. Kamash Malan, right? That no, what we're essentially telling you is to follow Yerusha, even though you don't have to follow Yerusha. It's not formally true. We tell you to follow it as if Yerusha exists. The Pnei Moshe, the Gra, the Rav Matz have other explanations as saying that no, if when a convert dies and he leaves sons and daughters, you should only give it to the sons, and only when there are no sons, you should give it to the daughters. Shelo tomar hol ve'ein yerusha la'ger dvar Torah yachzavan ulu v'notav. Right, as you might have thought that since this is an inheritance, you should give to sons and daughters equally. Kamash Malan, that no, you follow the paths of Yerusha, and you only give to sons first, and there aren't sons, which again, highlighting the uniqueness of Yerusha, of Batim. Maybe, right? But there's no evidence one way or the other on that. Rashi really reads it yet differently. He says, "Kishemachzir levana, machzir im yesh lo banim." You might have thought that you only give back to their sons. Umagda filu v'notav im ein lo banim, avam ein lo banim lo banim lo yesh lo yarshim konachim ukrovim. Shalotomar levana v'davkul v'notav davar nachla kruya hol v'inoshet v'ar Torah. He says, you only give it to kids, but not to other yarshim. And you might have thought that not only that, but you only give it to sons and not to daughters. Right? So again, this highlights, again, the fact that there's the Yerusha of sons is unique. And what the Gemara is saying is maybe, right, the maskana is you don't give it to anybody but children, but you might have thought that it's only sons, Kamash Malan, and his daughters too. But it maintains the notion that the Yerusha of children are unique. So Yotzibo. Similarly, Misha mate sof mishpachto. If someone died and he was the last member of his father's family, v'ein lo yoresh ela ima, when he has no heir other than his mother, lo yachzir. You don't give the loan back, v'im yachzir, but if you did, ruach hachamim noche heimenu. Again, this is the convert case. So again, giving to the mother, right here you see that, right, maybe there is a value of giving it to the other Yorshim, right, and that would come back to your question before. Not biblically. Right? But this isn't Yerusha, right? This is of a loan. No. Right? But it's saying, right, and therefore, but paying back the loan, right, you know, that is, like, praiseworthy. Now, another case of Ruach Chamim like this is HaGazlan Shatsa Tshuva, a thief who does Tshuva, Vikish Lachzer Dagzela, and wants to get back the article, or the stolen article, and the Kabbalah Minu, if you take it, Ein Ruach Chamim Noche Minu. Then, and this is found in Baba Kama Tzadi Daled, Now, the Gemara there tells you that there was a story of a thief who wanted to do tshuva, but his wife convinced him, don't do tshuva because you'll end up with no money. Right? So Chazal, therefore, said a takana that we said, we'd rather you not force the person to give it back because then he might not want to do tshuva. So, interestingly not, right? Interestingly not. Now, what exactly implications of this are very interesting. Right now, the Gemara assumes this is only if he does tshuva, right? If you, like, catch him in the act, right? So, presumably, we do make him pay back. It's only if he's in the process of doing tshuva and what's keeping him back from doing tshuva, you know, is keeping him from doing tshuva is how much money he's going to lose, right? So then we should accept it. Now that, you know, there's, now, and then there's discussions of, right, but the Gemara there says, but first of all, it depends. If the stolen object is still around, then this doesn't apply, right? That we do make him give it back. It's only when it's not there and you'd be forcing him to pay, right? That's when we apply further distinctions that we find in the parallel statement in the Bavli. The Rashi really quotes it here. Bava Kamma. In the parak Hagozel. Hagozel Kama, the first parak called Hagozel. And the ninth parak of Bava Kamma. Now, it's not formally usher, so there might be differences. If you stole a lot of money and make you go broke and things like that. Okay. We call Makayim Edvaro, and anyone who keeps your word in general, we're pleased with him. So, Rebchia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hanosein V'Notein B'Dvarim. There's a further distinction, by the way, just there, is whether this was forever, or this was a special gzera in the time of Rebbe. Right? Rabbeinu Tam assumes this was like a generational thing. He saw in his time this was necessary, but not forever. Here it doesn't have that qualification. Anyways, so I know that if you perform business with oral commitments and you renege on the commitment, zimdin da'ad amar ein racham v'nochem, and so there are different things, right? Sometimes backing out of a deal that you said is just a mild ethical lapse, and we call it ein racham v'nochem, and we're not happy with you. Zimdin da'ad amar ein rozen lal mishapara, and some say we give you a mishapara, right? So mishapara is a curse. Of mishapara me'anshe dor amabu, that the one who paid back those in the time of the flood and the time of the Pelaga will pay back people who are faithless and don't keep their words. Now there is a Machal Grishon. I've been learning this again with Yossi, of whether this is framed as a curse or as a statement, right? Like, is it we say we curse you? Right, that God should curse you, or God should curse whoever. There's three deos. One is we frame it as a curse to you. The second, we frame it as a curse in the third person. Right, God should curse you if whatever. God should curse he who. Or this is a statement. God will curse. I'm not cursing. I'm just describing God's, you know, the way God does this. Now, in the Sogya and the Bavli, this is in a case where basically you paid money, but you didn't do Mashicha. So, you know, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan there, money should be enough to be Kone, but rabbinically, we don't let it be Kone without Mashicha. And if that's the case, basically you're backing out of a Kenyan that should have taken effect. And that's why, right, you're really backing out of a deal in a serious way. So we make Mishapara. So this is like, Mishapara is like a legal, ethical thing, right? It's not merely ethical, which is, but it's not purely legal because we don't say you can't do it. We just say that if you do it, you have to take a formal curse.
I think we've mentioned this before, but I forget. Why were the rabbis gozer that you couldn't make a kinyan through money?
Because what we were worried about is that you would pay for something, right? And then it would still be in the storage house of the seller. And then a fire would start or something like that, and the seller wouldn't bother taking care of the property because it's not his anymore. So therefore, we insisted that you actually do a kinyan and take it into your property. Right? It's nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. So the Gemara says it. Because they have full power, and we're talking about this more in morning share, over monetary law, because of hefker beit and hefker. They have full control over the monetary system. Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Avo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, I noti ravon tabad l'chavero. If you give a ring as a security to your friend, v'ikas lachzer bo, chozer bo. Right? You don't get a misha para just because you gave somebody a security deposit. Ruzira by Kumriavo Zahov is the same thing as true of a gold coin. Meaning, in that case, is the gold coin viewed as security or is it a down payment? Is it a down payment that you started paying? Do you want to grab? Right, so he says, okay, Amar Lei, Sirzira, Amar Bai Kumi Rabbiavo Zahov. What about a gold coin? Is that considered a down payment? And therefore, you would have a Misha Bar, or is it like a, you know, whatever, just a normal era vote? So Amar Lei Tabat, it's only by a ring. Ma Bein Zavu, Ma Bein Tabat. What's the difference? He says Zov Dark Lishtana Tabat Beinehu, because a ring doesn't change. It's not used as cash, and therefore it's clear that it's an era vote. Whereas, now whether we pass in this way is very interesting, right? Because the riff holds that you're not. Again, I've been doing this with Yossi, but. Rather, the riff holds that you're not subject to Misha Parah, even if a security had been given. And they prove it from the Yerushalmi, like the riff. Not everyone agrees to that. There's a machloket. This is all discussed in Simon Reish Dalin and Shulchan Aruch. Whether people say that's not true. Rabbi Yaakov Razavdi Rav Abishir Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Litein Matana L'Chavero. If one said he was going to give to his friend, Uvikesh L'Achzerbo, and he wanted to go to Chozerbo, you can back out of a present. Right? And that's not, you don't need a Misha Para. Why? Because it's a present. Now, the problem is what you would say, but, you know, well, okay, maybe you don't need a Misha Para, but here we've been talking about two things. One is Misha Para, which is more of like a legal problem, but then there's the slightly less problem with is En Rocham Noche Menu. Are you going to tell me that there isn't any ethical problem with backing out? So what the Mefarshim say is, well, maybe it's a big present, right? Where a present, you don't really owe it. And if you committed to a large gift, so it's not a lack of integrity, because maybe you can't really afford it, right? Or something changed. And since it wasn't a legal obligation to begin with, fine. So, come Rabbi Yossi, im Rabbi Yaakov Rezavdi, amar lei, ha'ein lav tzedek v'hein tzedek. He said, come on, is that honest? Is that it, right? You're supposed to say, v'hein tzedek yelachem, which is you have fair measurements, Chazal read as your hein should be hein, your yes should mean yes, and your no should mean no. Right? Is that honesty? So Rav Palik and Rav disagrees. Rav Amrakana Renovesi Litin Matana Varnash Lina Chazarbi. And he said, yeah, whenever I commit to a present, I would never back out. Now again, many of the posts can assume that at least by a small gift, that's the case. You shouldn't back out. By a big gift, many assume that that's not the case. Okay, so Gemara says, Manita Pliga Rav, but the Mishnah seems, the Brightness seems to contradict Rav. Because Ematayam Ramu Metalta Nikna Mashicha, when do we say that movable objects are nicknamed by Mashicha? Beshut Rabim Chadzar Shein Osil Shneim, in a public domain in a courtyard that is not, or is isn't either of ours. Beshut Okeach, but if you're in the buyer's domain, Kaven Shekiba Lalav, once the seller is accepted to sell, the buyer acquires it automatically because you're in the buyer's property. If you're in the seller's property, you need hagba'ah. You do meshicha and you pull it out of the reshut. Right, out of the domain. If they're in the domain of one where they've been deposited, right? Not meaning by a shomer. The buyer doesn't find that she's a kenubahan until he acquires it for him. Or until he rents the place to the buyer. Right now, this last right ruling of the Bright that teaches the transaction is not final until you formally acquire it. So therefore, the Rav's halacha is that you can't retract because you've already acquired it. So Ma'avale Rav, what would Rav do? He says no. Kan b'shem shehemido ima. When Rav said he would not renege after telling his household to give a present, right? He's talking about where the recipient is there. So the Gemara is assuming that according to Rav, this isn't just an ethical lapse. The reason he would never back out of giving a present is because they were already koneh through the mechanism known as mamad shlashtan. Is that when all three people are present, you can do a kinyan without a maaser. Kav shlo amidu imo. Now the Rosh Shirilio says different, right? That he's saying it's a case where the buyer was not standing where the movable udah was, and therefore didn't see them. And there, the bride allows you to break your agreement because no kin had been performed. Or Rav was talking about where the recipient was there, he saw the item promised to the give, and therefore he was confident that he would get it, right? And if that's the case, this is ethical, right? This isn't mamach lashtan, right? The Rashi really assumes that, no, it's like the rest of the sugya. This is about ethical concerns. The point is that if I promise you a gift, but it's not real to you, it's theoretical, fine. If I back out, it's not the biggest deal. But if you're present and you see it, it's real to you, backing out is an ethical concern. And you should know that a certain person deposited security for salt, and it was delivered, and salt became more expensive. It came to Rav, either give him salt equivalent to his entire security, you have to take a mishapara. So machalfa she dated the Rav. So Rav says, wait a second, this contradicts Rav, because there I said that I would never renege on a present. And here he says that the buyer doesn't fully acquire it. Right? That's why you need a Misha Para. So it must be the case that when Rav said don't break it, it's only when they're all together. But if not. Okay, look at him. Fine. And then the Gemara says, Taman lemi d'hadin, right? Or alternatively, there is the strict law, meaning you're allowed to retract. Umad de Rav Nohig. And that was the ethical point. Or maybe, right? So the Gemara is itself raising both possibilities. One is that Rav was doing was legal. Second possibility is no. Maybe Rav wasn't, it wasn't a legal requirement. He wasn't saying you couldn't legally back out of the gift. It was just Umad de Rav Nohig. Lemi d'chassid. He was acting piously, which again is in line with the majority of the sugya, which is talking about ethical rather than legal concerns. Hadron alach hashvet mishametet uslichat la mesachet shuvot.